Welcome to Ed Research Matters, the University of Chicago Consortium on School Research's exclusive podcast series. I'm Jessica Puller, the communications specialist at the Consortium. This is the second podcast on the five essential supports for improving student learning. In the first podcast, we outlined the five essential supports and the research evidence that stands behind them. You may remember that the five essential supports encompass effective leaders, collaborative teachers, family involvement, supportive environment, and ambitious instruction. In this podcast, Elliot Ransom, the director of the Five Essentials Survey and Reporting System at UChicago Impact, talks about the Five Essentials, which is a survey tool that educators can use to diagnose their school's strengths and weaknesses. Isaac Castellas, the principal of the National Teachers Academy, will join us on the phone to tell us how he's used the survey tool to foster change and growth in his elementary school. Gentlemen, welcome.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Elliot, can you describe for us the Five Essentials Survey and Reporting System?
Absolutely. The Five Essentials is a research-based diagnostic assessment of school effectiveness that provides insights into a school's strengths and areas for improvement in the five key areas you just mentioned. The Five Essentials System is comprised of student and teacher surveys that are analyzed and turned into actionable, individualized online reports for schools. The reports allow practitioners to dig into their data in a way that enables them to better understand different facets of their school and to formulate strategic actions to address any challenges that are highlighted in the data. The final component of the Five Essentials System is a professional learning series for school leadership teams that supports those teams in effectively understanding and utilizing their data.
Okay, so based on your experience working with schools who administer the Five Essentials, can you tell us what about the underlying research resonates with people?
Absolutely. Honestly, first and foremost, the research itself, the power of it, and the fact that it really highlighted for us that schools that are strong on three or more of the Five Essentials are significantly more likely to improve over time than schools weak in the Five Essentials. That alone, frankly, attracts people to the work. Beyond that, however, I think that people are really attracted to the Five Essentials because there's this intuitive simplicity to it. What I mean by that is that the concepts themselves that are highlighted in the Five Essentials are not a new recipe. If you were to ask teachers, parents, students, the public at large, what does it take to make a school strong? How do you improve a school? In some way, shape, or form, they would name the concepts of the Five Essentials because we all know that these things matter for our schools and for our students. But the research has also created this depth of information underneath each of the Five Essentials such that the Five Essentials system itself brings layers of data about these intuitive topics to the forefront in a way that enables educators to dig into and grapple with these concepts in their building. I also think that, finally, people gravitate to the Five Essentials because it allows us to ascertain a more nuanced understanding of a school. It's not a test score. It's not an attendance rate. It's not a graduation rate. Instead, it seeks to expand the conversation and paint a more comprehensive view of quality and what it takes to really create success in a school.
That's a great segue. So far, we've heard a lot about the Five Essentials framework, but what about practice? How have you seen people use the Five Essentials?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for asking, because I think the power of the Five Essentials really comes to life when people utilize it. And while we've not conducted a formal study of how schools use the Five Essentials, I can share observations from our work with schools across the country. And as you'll hear in a few minutes from Isaac, the Five Essentials can be a really powerful tool for fostering growth and improvement both at an individual level and at a school level. And from our work, we've seen that there are really a few critical practices for effectively and successfully utilizing the Five Essentials. Specifically, and I'll go into these in a minute because they're relatively jargon-laden, schools that narrow their focus, democratize the process, and broaden the base of leadership in tandem with one another, and then adopt an open mind and a reflective stance are really the schools that are most likely to succeed in using the Five Essentials. Oftentimes, when confronted with data, especially data that suggests there's room for improvement, we have a tendency to try to tackle it all. And I think in education in particular, we do this because we have an unbelievable urgency to do better for our students. And as a result, people end up doing what I call trying to boil the ocean. they try to do everything at once and make it overly complicated. But what I've observed time and time again, especially when first using data like the Five Essentials, is that trying to do too much actually ends up being counterproductive and overwhelming, and as a result, progress is frankly hampered. So instead of doing that, we advise people to really narrow their focus and go an inch wide and a mile deep. Doing this actually helps ensure that you are able to really think about a challenge from all angles and then thoughtfully craft a plan to address the challenge in a way that actually maximizes the likelihood of success. The second practice that is really helpful is democratizing the process. And what I mean by this is you really need to give voice to people as you set out to define the changes that need to occur and the path that the school will take to create that change. Because people are far more likely to buy into a change that they've actually had a hand in defining. As such, it's important to ensure that you have diverse perspectives at the table to engage in the analysis and planning. And so in working with schools, we push them and encourage them to not have just leadership team members, but to also have teacher voice present at the table, and then use norms and protocols to help set the right tone for that team as they embark upon the work. The third practice, which again is really, I think, an extension of the second, is broadening the base of leadership. Everyone at a school is busy, so putting a bunch of new things on the plates of just a few people likely will not lead to success or lead to true implementation of an action plan. So broadening the base of leadership when addressing the data really counteracts that and pushes people to a place of ownership over the change and not just buy-in to the change. Moreover, engaging with the data across a broader base of individuals actually has this tangential benefit of creating a greater sense of understanding and alignment across the school, such that the priorities that are set in the plan and the vision really are codified and made clearer for all individuals. Finally, and this one I think is key and maybe the most important one, is you really need to approach the data with an open mind and a reflective stance. If you're not willing to accept that the data have something to tell you, or if you're unwilling to take ownership for what is or responsibility for what could be in the school, it's unlikely that you're going to make any sort of lasting progress. This requires, frankly, a level of vulnerability that is uncommon in our culture. But we see teams who engage with the data authentically are really able to leverage the Five Essentials and harness the power of the Five Essentials as a tool for learning and then use it to refine and enhance the work that they're already doing. So schools that approach the Five Essentials in this way and do so in a systematic manner over time increase the likelihood that the Five Essentials will lead to improvement in the organization of their school and ultimately to the outcomes that they're able to produce for the students in their school. But I also want to say, it's not easy work, and we all know that, but really over time, if you engage in this work, we have seen that it is possible to make progress. It is possible to create change through the Five Essentials, and Isaac is proof of that.
Well, with that, I'd like to turn over to a school practitioner. Joining us by phone is Principal Isaac Castellas. Isaac, can you share two or three significant findings that have come out of your reports on the Five Essentials?
Most recently, when my staff and I looked at our Five Essentials report, one of the really big things that we saw was, first of all, a lot of growth in four of the five essentials, but in one category in particular, the supportive environment essential, we noticed not a lot of growth. So we spent a lot of time in opening professional development trying to figure out why that was. And even before my teachers came back into the building in August, I spent time with my admin team in the spring and also worked with some teachers over the summer to investigate the survey itself, look at some of the responses, and pave a way forward moving into the new school year. So what we found was that our students didn't feel as much support around the academic personalism and the academic interventions that we wanted ultimately for our students to have. And that resulted in things like lower grades and lower on-track rates. So we saw other pieces of data that correlated with what the Five Essentials survey was saying. And so we put a lot of things in place over the summer and beginning this school year to address some of what the survey told us. One of the other things that we saw in the survey, I mentioned the positive growth before, but one of the really positive things that we saw was that our teachers felt much better about being at the school and felt really good about being at our school and had established really trusting, collaborative relationships with one another. And one of the reasons why I think that happened was because the year before, we really set out to create a more welcoming and supportive environment for teachers. So we did more social events for teachers. We celebrated Valentine's Day. We had a staff appreciation week. We had First Fridays. A lot of things were put in place to invite teachers to interact more and socialize more with each other as people, not simply as teachers. We also did a lot of things, though, to create more professional collaboration within our school community as well. So we had 4 grade level teams a couple years back. We had a K-1, a 2-3, a 4-5 and 6, and a 7th and 8th grade team. So we condensed that down to 3 teams, a K-2 team, a 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade intermediate team, and then a middle school team. And so that created larger teams in which teachers spent more time together planning with teachers from across a broader range of grade levels. And so I think that showed in the data as well. So we also have a much more collaborative staff than I think we had 2 or 3 years ago, when if you looked at our Five Essentials data from 2013, 2014, you can see evidence that our school community and our teaching community was not very collaborative.
So, Isaac, going back to the supportive environment, which was one of the weaknesses you found in your most recent report, what did you do to respond to this? Did that lead to improvements in the way your school operated?
So when we dug deeper into the supportive environment essential, we saw that the academic support piece was something that we struggled with. In particular, it was something that we struggled with in middle school. And so one of the great things that our teachers have done to respond directly to that piece of the data is to arrange after-school study halls and tutoring programs for students. And so we've seen an improvement in the on-track rate in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade compared to last school year. And I believe that this is at least in part due to the extra commitment that our teachers have made and to the work that they've done with students who may need some extra support, because that part of the supportive environment essential, the questions that students answer on that particular piece of the survey are all about teachers explaining things in a different way or getting extra time or more practice or help, and our teachers making themselves available to help students when they need a little bit of extra support. So I think the middle school team here at NTA has done a great job responding to that data.
Well, thank you so much to Elliot Ransom and Isaac Costellos for joining us. I'm Jessica Puller, and this has been Ed Research Matters, the University of Chicago Consortium on School Research's exclusive podcast series.